Okay, welcome to the Patreon Q&A for the month of August 2022. We are very close to being done with the whole deal, or at least achieving early access, not the whole thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, what are you talking about?
We're close to being done with the beginning. It's the end of the beginning.
What? Okay.
Whatever. Let's just say it's a milestone, all right?
It's a milestone. Yes, we should go with that. That's great.
Okay. Groovy.
We're close to hitting a really awesome milestone, getting onto Steam, and, like, that's wild, frankly.
Yep. It's been something we've been looking forward to for a long time. It's a lot of work, and we'll keep going, because we got a lot more to make. As usual, the way this works is if you want to ask a question or say something, you request to speak on Discord, and then we will approve those requests in the order they arrive. So the first one is 33YN2.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Howdy. Good. So Cavi, I actually have a question for you.
What's up?
Were you able to get a hold of Valve with regards to getting a Steam Deck for development?
I'll be honest with you, no. Mainly because I didn't send that out, because we have been so busy that doing that kind of additional testing, even having the device hardware, doesn't necessarily guarantee me the time to test on that hardware. So it's a lower priority. But if I recall correctly, you were talking to us last stream, and you were doing some basic porting over of the demo or something to that effect. Was that the case?
No, I just tested it on the Proton compatibility layer that Valve released, and it worked okay. There was a few minor things with the UI, but that was about it.
But, Yeah, when it comes to UI, a lot of that should be resolution independent, but at the same time, it's one thing to say, yeah, it should work, and another thing to have a device to test on it. And then yet another thing to have the time to test on that device.
So. I mean, the resolution wasn't really the issue, it was the controller. It wasn't mapped correctly to the UI.
Yep. That makes sense.
But yeah. Alright, well, that sucks, but
in time. Potentially, because I would love to be able to release this on different platforms if we can support that, but Windows is obviously our focus right now because it's just the majority of the market so far.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I have.
Cool.
Thank you.
Next up, we've got Nuke 'em Up.
Hey, how y'all guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Been playing the demo, and that last guy, he had a really good question, because I actually do a lot of my gaming on DB11, so that's actually really refreshing to hear. But I've noticed that with the implementation of the M113, is there going to be, I guess, more infantry based units as time goes, or is this going to be mainly an armor focused game? Because I noticed the M113 is more or less just an APC and kind of more of a piece you have to protect rather than anything that could be actually useful in a scenario.
Yeah, the M113 and the BTR-60, when that comes in and stuff like that, they will have their main purpose shift from just being kind of cannon fodder to being the transport for mechanized infantry. Infantry are on the roadmap. They're pretty early on in the roadmap.
Okay.
We've got people working on them right now, actually.
Yeah, I understand. I mean,
missions that have infantry in them are going to be very infantry-focused, to the point where you probably won't win the mission by killing all the enemy vehicles. You'll win the mission by making sure your guys get to the objective and take it.
So whenever we are talking about an infantry implementation, are we talking as if you will just be transporting the infantry and then they'll exit the vehicle and not be able to control them, or
most likely, yeah.
Okay. Like I do development, and I just kind of stumbled on y'all's game through YouTube, and I was like, man, it seems like a fun project to be a part of. So if we could get in touch sometime, if I could help you guys in any way, try to add me somehow, and then just get in touch with me.
You feel free to send me a DM. It depends what kind of development you do, and we have specific things that we're looking for, but yeah, we can talk later.
Of course. Well, I appreciate it, guys.
Yep.
Thanks for the question.
All right. Next, we have Same Fisk.
Hello.
Hello.
Quick question. Like, what was the main drive behind going on Steam, so to say?
Going on Steam as opposed to a different platform, or instead of like remaining on Patreon for longer?
What made you want to go to Steam, apart from the other launchers that are, that whatever you want to call them?
Oh, just because it's the most widely used, as far as we can tell. It's pretty much the default choice. It has an early access system, and yeah, we can explore other platforms later, but for now, it's pretty simple to just say, okay, we're on Steam, that's where to find it.
That I can totally understand. My second question with Steam, are you using any of like a lot of the Steam behind the scenes stuff, like their matchmaking and, so to say, like networking? And I mean, I do a little bit of development myself, and I'm going to game programming school right now.
Gotcha.
Nice.
And like using their back-end system, so to say.
Right.
API, yeah.
Yeah, we've looked into it. Some of the stuff looks interesting, and we might use it. Some of it not so much. We'll have to see how it turns out.
But I'm guessing you're going to have, like, with the multiplayer, that I'm going to be able to click on a friend and join him if he's got a multiplayer game.
Hopefully, yeah.
Okay, nice. Well, that's all I had. And thank you very much for making an awesome game.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for supporting.
Good questions.
All right, next up we got Toby Silverstone with a muted mic.
Yeah, sorry about that. So obviously, first one, got a fanboy and say thank you guys. This thing has been fucking amazing. The journey, you know, I've been with you guys for a year now, and oh my god, it's incredible.
Oh, we appreciate you saying.
Yeah, thanks for the support.
No worries. So the actual question is, with the roadmap, how much of a hint at contents of each update are the images you've used, or are they just generic images?
You're talking about, like, do the images match with the text on each thing?
Yeah, so I tried to ask the question on stream. I know for whatever reason you didn't answer it. I don't know if that's because you didn't want to answer it or because it was more of a Patreon thing. But basically, my question was, like, take for example aircraft, which is one of the things I know we've talked about in the past. The aircraft update only has on the image bombers or some sort of maybe fighter bomber. I'm not the best at aircraft of this era. Will we be seeing the helos that were talked about, you know, 2-3 months ago, or is that now being like pushed to maybe a post-launch thing?
I see what you're asking. In general, the images that we show for each thing are related to the thing in the text, but it's not necessarily comprehensive. So, for example, on the Soviets image, we show T-64As. That doesn't mean that the T-80B won't also be included. It's just an example. So, the aircraft in those images, I think those were, I gotta look this up to make sure I don't get it wrong. There's two different Russian aircraft that are being worked on right now, and I don't want to mix them up. Someone will know what those were just by the silhouette, I'm sure. Yeah, I think they were MiG-23, yeah, that sounds right. But that doesn't mean that we don't have helicopters going in as well, right? Because we showed a Hind at some point, like, the model's done, it's very detailed. Obviously, there's going to be a Hind. It's mostly a matter of we're not going to show everything in those pictures, we just show a little representative snippet, a little teaser, and then we'll see what happens when the actual update comes out.
So then obviously linked to that would be, you know, again, something we talked about in the past, or sorry, I say we, I mean you guys. With the aircraft, you talked about, you know, possibly doing player controlled AAA or maybe AI controlled. Is there anything you can say about that at this stage, or is it very much, hey, we can't talk about it right now?
That's still yet to be seen. We have to, because the thing is, we've established this identity for how vehicles play in Gunner EPC, right? We have the detailed exterior, detailed gunner sights, and then simple controls. Well, think about how that would translate to, let's say, a Shulka. What are you looking at when you're controlling a Shulka? It's like a radar screen, a bunch of panels, and maybe rarely direct fire through a gun sight. It's all auto-tracking, it uses this network. It has a radio command BTR that sends targets in from the net, and they coordinate the scanning angles, and you use your fine-tuned radar to pick it up. It's all this kind of semi-automated dance to get the gun on target and to shoot at it. So I don't know if we can make that fun or not, and if we want to put the effort into making those systems. It would be very cool, but I can't say yes or no yet. We have to see how the game develops and what kind of resources we have.
So very much a case of right now, if you're going to put it in, it's going to be AI controlled, and you're going to have to blow it up or defend it, depending on the side you're on.
Yeah, I can say it's pretty certain that SPAA will be in the game, but I can't tell you whether they'll be player or not.
Right, well then, apart from that, guys, all I've got to say is I love you guys. You guys are making an awesome game. Continue what you're doing.
All right, thank you very much. Oh,
thank you.
Okay, next up we have Sebek.
Hello, guys.
Hey.
Howdy, howdy.
Question, what do you think about the implementing basic voice control when you can order your loader to load your gun with a type of ammunition or manage your platoon formation?
It's not something that we have any plans for.
Yeah. There are a lot of tools out there now that make that, I guess, a bit easier, but it's a lot of additional complexity that kind of takes us away from the main development of the game. So,
okay. And another question about the damage models. Do you plan to tweak the Drag D25 HIE ammunition so it has some effect on the tin skinned vehicle, like a BRDM?
No. If someone shows evidence that it can penetrate more than 7-8 millimeters of steel, I'll adjust it. But right now, it can get through the side of the BRDM from flat angles and close range. You can try it.
Okay.
But it's a very weak penetrating round. It's not designed for armor penetration, and I see no indication in any kind of official documents that it has that ability. It's very much designed for surface impact, instant fuse, and fragmentation.
I should. Thank you very much, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, next up is Steggy.
Hello, hello.
How's it going?
Howdy.
Hey, glad to be here again. I watched the stream and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
So, my question is, historically, one of the Warsaw Pact's numbers and equipment advantage, you said in a previous stream and here on Discord as well that it will come into play, which would like change difficulty but add some more like historical or like alt historical flair to like hey the campaigns are gonna be different, all that stuff, and like for authenticity's sake the East did have a big numbers advantage and such.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, what advantages will NATO have to make their campaign at least, well, more winnable, even though we all know it's going to be a good bit more difficult than the Pact campaign because of the numbers advantage? Thermal imaging and night vision was an advantage NATO held in 85, which would make night attacks a more viable strategy. But will there also be subtle differences, like, for instance, like NATO using like heavier fighters like A-10s for air support while Pact uses, let's say, SU-17 fitters?
I couldn't list to you all the specifics. That's something we'll have to see as the campaign develops.
No problemo.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Before I go, though, I have prepared something real quick.
All right.
Where is it? Oh. Where is it? GHBC. Let me try and find it. Heck, no. Where is it?
If you need to find it and come back, maybe you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all good.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Next up, we have TJ.
Hello.
Hey.
Howdy.
So, with the voice lines. So, for all the vehicles and crew-served weapons that don't have like a commander, with like, any mechanic to allow them to have like some sort of like commander voice. So, let's say you're in a tow because you know you're an awesome tanker, mm-hmm. but you got overwhelmed. So you're now in a tow. Is there any way to have like, you know, maybe an infantry like panic spot? Like, hey, there's a T-72 right there, dude. I can't do anything. Tow, can you do something about that? And then, so then you
sort
can
of, yeah. What we have right now is we have lines recorded that can be used for in placed tows in a pinch, but obviously that wouldn't be spotting. Like the gunner can still call his own, like identified on the way, whatever. Tracking, but there will be additional stuff that'll apply to all units, which is radio alerts. We're still working on the system for this. We have lines recorded for the U.S. anyway. Just basically the regional intel apparatus letting you know, hey, here's enemy armor coming in from this direction, or we spotted this over here. So there will be some information beyond your AI commander spotting stuff. And that will probably come in handy for things like emplacements as well as just everything in general, tanks.
And on the topic of emplacements as well, because I saw on the stream a lot of people were asking about a terrain deformation. Could that still be used for like prepared positions like trenches and like bunkers or something?
So things like trenches and bunkers that are dug into the ground, that needs a little bit of technical work to make it possible, and we're still looking into that. So I couldn't tell you yes or no on that.
Alrighty.
Thanks for the question.
Next up, we have Fisk again.
Yeah, sorry, I just came up with a different one while I was sitting here listening. As I said before, I'm going through game programming school, starting my second year now at the end of August. And very after cool. The second year, here in Sweden at least, we have something called learning while working, so to say. And what the school does is they find game companies who want to take one of the students for a six-month period. And mm-hmm.
An internship.
Yeah, an internship kind of thing. And is that, yeah. I don't know how big you are or whatever, so to say, but is that something you're open to, or?
Open to, like, if we, Radiant Simulations, taking on people as an intern?
Yeah.
Not something that we've discussed, honestly, but realistically, it's like, we have some very, like Action was saying earlier, we have some very specialized tasks that we're needing to get ready for our early access stuff. And I don't know, like, I wouldn't know your qualifications, skill set, anything like that. So if you want to DM myself or Action, just mm-hmm. like some more information, we can talk about that offline.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Generally speaking, as a developer and as just a random person, like, I love working with people and giving people stuff to do and having mm-hmm. those opportunities. But as the guy running GHPC, the project, and looking at our budget and our goals and everything, I don't know where we would fit in an intern right now. It would be a very tough thing. You would have to be a specialized, like, you'd have to already have experience and skills that match with what we're looking for right now. So just that's kind of how it is.
That would be the same a year from now, because that's when that would open up for me, so to say.
Well, it kind of depends how the project does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That I totally understand.
If I look into my crystal ball and see that we have made millions off of GHPC, then yeah, sure, come on down. We'll figure something out. But no, it's all variable, and there's nothing that we can like really add to that. But that overall, that is a good thing you should look into. I would say take the opportunity to go into internships, especially for game programming, and learn what you can from others.
As far as, I mean, because I was also formerly trained as a software developer, like a computer science degree and all that, you know, both Kavi mm-hmm. and I were. And it's been my experience that having a degree in hand only gets you so far. It's actually not worth that much besides checking a box. Like, yeah, I have the degree. Because really showing that you can do stuff is how you get jobs, and knowing people is how you get jobs. So yeah, definitely take internship opportunities. This goes for anybody in a STEM field, really. Every year, every year that you have in between semesters, take internships. It doesn't even matter if it's not exactly what you want to do. Just get your foot in the door somewhere, because the connections that you make after you graduate, somebody randomly that you met during the last years will be like, hey, we have this job open, and then boom, you're set. Like, you have such a leg up on people who just get the degree and then start off from square zero. It's unreal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mirror that. Oh, no. I'm just going to say I mirror that in that my degree has gotten me to a lot of places, but realistically is very foot in the door. The people that I met in college and some of the small internship opportunities that I took, because I didn't really take as many as I should have helped me out in my 12 years of doing this stuff, emphatically.
Boomer so. Moment. Anyway.
Hush. Hush you.
the school is telling us that every day. Like, going to the school is good and what you're learning here is good, but the people you meet and the other stuff, that's what counts.
Yeah. Yes. And also, like, you'll learn skills on the job working with different, like, just different ways of thinking about, different perspectives of thinking about problems that you won't necessarily get by having one professor tell you, like, do this rote material or make this thing.
Plus, half the stuff you learn in university is already outdated by the time you get a job anyway.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say I had maybe two semesters of solid, like, useful stuff for my degree. The rest was just fluff. It was just meeting the requirements.
I learned function point analysis to analyze a full program's, project requirements and how to estimate that. Never used it once. That was at least a 3-week thing just down the drain.
What, you've been holding out with a method to establish you project requirements, and you're
you
working on
up.
A project with requirements.
You just shut your mouth.
Listen, if you want to be a project manager, Kavi, I'm gonna need you to put in 110%. All right,
I'm gonna need you to give me a lot more money.
Touche. All right, thanks for the question.
Yeah, thank you.
Next up.
If you're still listening, good luck to you. Still DM me, and we'll chat about some stuff.
All right. Next up, we have Nuclear Moose.
The most dangerous.
Hello.
Hello.
pretty simple question. Right now, commanding units is only done through, you know, the little drop-down menu. In the future, will we be able to have more granular control of our platoon, you know, setting up fallback positions, waypoints, commanding through the map at all?
It's very likely, especially through the map. We're trying not to come up with a situation where you end up like head in the map for the whole mission to do stuff, but it is the easiest way to establish positions, and we have some plans about it. I can't get into too many details because some of them are like things that we have to try to make sure that they're actually viable, but it is a thing that we're working on.
Okay, thank you.
Next, we have Steggy again.
Hello.
Hey.
So basically, my second question is, when it comes to infantry, so basically, will each individual squad member have like a specific like behavior? Like, for instance, well, like they'll probably all see cover when they can, but well, like the anti-tank member, like the guy with the M270 bazooka and law and all that stuff, will they like try and go flank enemy tanks and hide behind buildings to do so, or?
Maybe, I don't know. We'll see how the AI
yeah, goes. Yeah. Sorry, my questions for this stream are a little bit less broad.
I mean, generally, any questions about very specific implementation details of things that we haven't made yet, the answer is going to be, I don't know. Like, we have ideas about what we want to do, but if I say everything that we want to do and then it doesn't happen, well, now I look silly, right? So
That's okay.
Yeah, that's why I say stuff that I want that will never happen, like anime tank cat girl stuff.
Your leak.
Yeah, I like... so basically, I'll just ask the question more broadly. Will, like, infantry squads have, like, historical loadouts? Like, will a few riflemen and, like, an anti-tank guy? Like, is that planned?
We're going to try to make the default squad layouts pretty similar to whatever motorized infantry would have been at the time. So, like, Motostrelki or what have you. Like, we'll try to keep it pretty grounded. There's always a chance that it'll be off a little bit, and it's probably not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but yeah, if we're looking for, okay, how do we set this up, we will go to the source material and say how many guys do they have per RPG whatever.
Okay. Before I go, I have found the thing I wanted to send.
Uh-oh.
It's in patrons' voice chats.
All right.
It's just
patrons who resubscribe to the GHPC Patreon to keep supporting even after the game is on Steam. I'm with you all the way, Captain.
That's gonna be me and like a lot of us. I think I've seen like a lot of supports, and it like honestly warms my heart because this is an amazing game. It's like a game that's been like lost for like 2 decades, like since the early 2000s, late 90s, like. This kind of game is just not around anymore, and me and a lot of people are very glad that it's coming back. And I who never played those kinds of games, aside from maybe Arma, but if that counts. But we're glad that these types of games are coming back, and a lot of us will experience it for the first time. So thanks for that.
Yeah, we're really glad to have the support, and we're glad that we're able to make it.
Yeah.
All right. See ya.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
Next up, we have Sick.
Hey, guys.
Kick.
If you call me Kick, those are fighting words.
What the...
I reserve...
Why didn't you use an S then? All right, what's your question?
So, I was asking... My primary question is just about artillery options in the future. So... Right now, it seems like we have a circular template, and it looks to me like it's basically HE, probably some sort of like 155 or something.
Mm-hmm.
We expect in the future to have like stuff like MLRS, to have like I don't know exactly how you do it, but some sort of like custom template, like say. I want you to drop artillery on a line, you know, and you can make the line a different length or something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, where they have different protocols. They drop in a pattern. There's a direction to it. It depends on the munition. Yeah, we've looked into all of that. I don't know how much of it will make it into controls you can decide, though. It kind of depends how much time there is to go back and add things to it.
Yeah, there's some of the underpinnings for that in the system that Action was showing off already, but it's like it would need a bit more UX and a better UI setup.
Yeah, so right
really
now,
communicate that.
Right now, the way it works is the mission designer says what kind of batteries are on call. He can pick like mortars, guns, rockets, whatever. Like set the actual ammo. And it can all be designated in pretty detailed ways, but when you make a call for support, the interface between like the player and the artillery batteries just picks whatever the first available battery is. It doesn't let you select, hey, I want specifically guns and specifically firing DPICM. Like, you can't do that at the moment. It's just first come, first serve. So maybe that'll change in the future, maybe not. It really kind of depends how it goes.
Okay. And you know, maybe there hasn't been you know, I know not everything's set in stone and can't answer some questions, but I was thinking Will we see Depicum, Smoke, Incendiary, stuff like that, you think?
I'm not sure about Smoke. I know it would be very useful, but I don't recall us specifically putting that in the plans yet. It's just something we're kind of aware of. Yeah, it could happen, it could not happen. I'm not sure.
Yeah, all right, thanks. That pretty much answers my question. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Thanks for the question.
Next up is Cowboy.
Howdy, fellas.
Howdy, partner.
First of all, big thanks for the project you're working on. It's been really refreshing and nice.
Thank you.
Two questions, both of them about kind of the future. So the first one probably been asked like a few times, but I didn't have the patience to go through all these sessions and such. So how are you gonna decide on the future theaters for the game, like after you will finish this one? Will there be some voting by the community, or like you will just decide it yourself, or you haven't been thinking about it in general?
We have a list right now internally of the ones that we want to do in the near future. We're just not ready to announce any of them yet.
And the second question, maybe you've been thinking about producing some physical merchandise like t-shirts or something, like, you know, hoodies whatsoever, like maybe some keychains or something.
We do have a Redbubble store right now, in case you want to look for some of that stuff. We will probably be expanding our merch in the future. Let me grab the link. It's in the info and links channel.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you a lot, fellas.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thanks for the questions.
Have a great evening. Ciao, ciao.
Alright, next up we have Sebek again.
Hello again. I may actually asking for about already answered question, as I missed quite a lot of this Steam Twitch stream. Do you planning any more updates for the each version
yes.
of the build? Or
yep, I mentioned it on stream, like you said. Since we usually do at least one update a month, and it's toward the beginning or middle of the month, we should have one, I'd say, within about a week from now. We'll have another update. It'll have some of the stuff you saw on stream. It'll have whatever is ready for artillery. There's some other stuff. I might as well mention it because it's about ready. We're replacing the Proving Ground. That's one of the major things. We're putting in Grafenvor tank range as the new Proving Ground, and it's that's a U.S. Army training area in Germany. We have it directly mapped in the game. We have more realistic targets. In the future, we'll have missions that are the gunnery tables where the targets they appear in the correct sequence for like training and stuff. Anyway, it's gonna be very cool. And there will be some bonus stuff in that map that you'll see when it comes out. It'll be very exciting. You'll see. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming in the new patch, and then after that, probably just nothing major until Steam release.
Everyone in voice now wants a leak of the picture of some sort of picture.
I guess we could show it.
Sounds interesting, but another question: what features of the roadmap you plan to kind of implement first?
They are roughly in order.
Okay.
We've also said in the past. we've also said in the past that even though one of those may come up, like number one is done, number two is done, it's not necessarily done. We'll still be adding features to those as we, you know, continue our work.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm glad you're leaking that and not like the other thing that we were talking about.
The other thing? That's a good leak.
Yeah. Don't. That's it. Don't talk about
it. I was about to show something spicy from Grafenvor 4.
No, that's fine. Do that. But, like.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, TJ, you are up again.
Hello again. So with the infantry, how will they react to taking casualties? Will it just be like a generic every other game where they just die and all their buddies ignore them, or will they like a, you know, attempt to do a buddy rescues and whatever the 80s equivalent of a TCCC?
They will do absolutely nothing unless we have time in the future to do some kind of fancy system for it.
Dang. I've been obsessing over casualties in my own projects recently.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're obsessing over tanks, so there's only so much we can put time into.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely our focus right now.
Ready.
Next question.
Yep.
Next up is Maple Arrow.
Hi.
Hey.
So I just get one quick question. You know, with the introduction of artillery, we only see the shrapnel in AR, so I'm wondering, will we ever see like overpressure waves and stuff in the
action? I think when we do an overhaul of the way the damage tracking system works, like the recorded data, not only will it get more efficient, it will also allow us to do more things like indicating, hey, this was damaged by overpressure, and we'll probably come up with a way to show that in the AAR as well, because it's important.
All right, that's it for me. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. What does a maple arrow taste like?
I assume maple.
Hmm. All right, then.
Hello.
How's it going?
Me?
Yep.
Cool. All right. I had some questions about improvements to the AI.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing. So what is being done to like fix their pathfinding? Like, for example, if I reverse, the AI will like try to turn around and drive the other way instead of just like reverse.
So yeah. we're very well aware of all this stuff. Early on, the AI would reverse when you reversed, and then there was an update that fixed some obstacle avoidance, but it broke that. And it's just kind of constantly been juggling different stuff. Right now, one of our current active work items, like there's somebody on this specifically, is improving AI. It's a fairly detailed overhaul, and it will most likely fix a lot of stuff. It's probably not going to be perfect immediately, but it'll be much better than it is now. So we are working on that actively, to answer your question.
Yeah.
Okay,
right,
cool.
It'll be much more maintainable too, and then we can add.
Oh, thank goodness! Thank goodness. another thing I was wondering is, will you ever be able to like split your team? So, like, if you got four tanks in your platoon, you maybe want two tanks to hold their position here, while you and another tank maybe go up, you know, over there. Would you be able to like split your team up?
Maybe we'll see.
Okay. All right. Oh yeah, one more thing before I go. I kind of missed the first stream. Will you guys be uploading it somewhere?
Yeah, no, we always gone. Upload them.
Ah. Man, okay. I was trying to mess with them.
You weren't fast enough. We always upload those. It takes sometimes about a day because I have to pull the VOD from or like download it from Twitch, and then I put it on YouTube, and then I annotate it. So it takes some time, but they always go up.
For sure. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Continue to do good work. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
All right.
On top of that, this particular thing also goes into a recording and then goes onto our...
Oh, yeah, yeah. These sessions are always on Patreon afterward.
Yeah. You can listen to them while you work out and be bored to tears, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
You guys are working out, right?
Hopefully.
All right. So, Sick, you're on next.
Howdy, Kick.
So the other thing is focusing again on artillery. The other thing I was thinking was and unsure if it's possible, one of the things that you definitely observe is if you play the game at night, NATO has a huge advantage to the point where many of the night missions feel kind of like clubbing SEALs because the Soviets just cannot see you that well. And I thought one of the things that might be nice to have for artillery, assuming PACT has the technology, which I assume they do, is illumination mortars for night attacks specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an idea.
You don't have to answer. Yeah, I would agree. We have the same idea. Oh, man, he's gone.
You made him run away.
I hope you agreed with him. Your concerns.
You agreed with him into oblivion.
Yep. He talked about illumination flares and then he popped smoke.
Oh my god.
Wild. Alright, Toby Silverstone, you are up.
Guys, again. Hello. Very quick one. With stuff like the range now being updated to a real life range, are we going to see a more variety in the solid targets that are on the range, or are we going to still see sort of the same tank repeat 20 times?
It's actually going to be cutout targets now. There are silhouettes of different types of vehicles, and they fold up and down for courses of fire.
Will we still get the same sort of, you know, given the silhouette, will we still get the same, you know, you've hit the tank in the engine, that's penetrated the engine block, or is it just you've hit the target?
No, it's just hit the target. They're standard gunnery targets. They're plywood silhouettes. I think they're painted gray or black or something. I don't remember exactly. And then they have heat panels on them so that they will glow in thermals in a somewhat realistic pattern.
Okay, cool. That was literally it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. What's the spicy thing you're going to leak out?
Remember there's that thing on Grafenvor? That the plinth?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to show that.
Do that.
Okay. So, for anyone who's wondering what the leak is, here is a snippet of what you can expect to show up in Grafenvor. This is something that doesn't exist there IRL, but it will in ours. This is the...
Oh, you added text.
No, that's in there.
Yeah, you added text. That's what I meant. Like, in there.
No, Lancer added text.
I want you to have the credit.
Okay, I did all of this. Guys, I made the whole tank range.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is... it's one of the ways that we're kind of teasing upcoming content. Yeah, this is kind of like a... You get 6-for-1 leak. Yeah, this is... a little model display area that we've set up in Grafenvor. So when you're in between shooting at targets and stuff, you can go drive over there and be like, oh wow, that'll be really cool when it comes in. So there you go. There's the leaks will be included in the game now.
Yep. And then you can all see what's actively being worked on.
Mm-hmm.
You can all still ask us, like, is this vehicle going to be worked on? And then we can just point to that.
Yeah. Those might be a little hard to read, because that's the only screenshot I have. I yoinked it from a development stream that we were doing internally. That's from left to right, BTR-60PB, BMP-2, T-64A OBR 1981, T-62 OBR 1972, Leopard 1A1A1, M60A1 Rise Passive. I think there were a few more vehicles before, but we ended up taking them away.
Why does it go 1A1A1? That seems very confusing.
Well, so the Germans, first they made the tank called the Leopard, right?
Okay.
It was just called Leopard. Then they made a new variant called Leopard A1. Then they made a variant of that called Leopard A1A1. They had many different kind of numbers going on. And then the Leopard 2 came out, so the first one had to become Leopard 1, so now it was Leopard 1A1A1.
I don't like their versioning system.
Well, I'm not sure whether that one's worse or M1A2 SEP V3.
Wow.
Instead of like M1A3. They just won't do M1A3. They refuse to go there.
Damn.
Anyhow.
Well, good to know. Enjoy your leak for this month's stream, QA, etc.
Yeah, I'd say that's a pretty substantial leak.
That's pretty solid, yeah. Like, they'll still ask us for more later, but, like, maybe we can just point back to that and say, oh, look at that one.
Oh, yeah. Closet Monster said, don't forget 120mm gun tracked. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot the actual full name of the tank. Tank Combat 120mm Gun Full Tracked. It goes on and on and on.
Oh, God. I think we got someone in the request.
Oh, yeah. I was too busy memeing. I didn't notice.
Okay. I actually can't see them. So, like, I just know that someone's in there.
Oh, you see the little number?
Yeah, weird. Mm.
What's up, Finn guy?
Hello. Well, today I won't be asking for leaks since they've been posted already, but might have been answered before, but are there any new vehicles in the next update?
It depends if we finish it up in time.
All right.
There is a new vehicle that's, like, 95% ready. And we will see if it makes it. That's all I'll say.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's not like the Bradley was almost ready for a year and a half. I mean, like, almost already, like, actually.
No. We've learned our lesson from that little snafu. But the Bradley is nice. I feel like that was the one.
Especially now that it has voice lines, or it's about to in the new update.
Mm-hmm.
Tracking.
Oh, God. Anything else, Fing Man? Finn Man?
Fing Guy, but no, nothing other than fanboying, which has been done enough, but still an amazing game. Keep doing it.
Alright.
Thank you.
Do. Thanks.
I will never not accept fanboying on the stream.
Hmm. Alright. We are very close to the end of the Q&A. So, if you have any last minute questions, you have 4 minutes. Magnetic Jerk, you are on.
I thought you were calling me that. I'm like, what the hell?
yeah, quick one. Just because I noticed I haven't seen any official ActionScript or approved information on this yet. Since the roadmap mentions Russian voices and German voice crews with Western command flow, will we get the Eastern command flow too?
Oh, of course. That's not a roadmap item because it's not...
Because the East Germans already exist, yeah, and it's exactly not big enough to... Right. Nice. Yep. I was hoping that'd be the answer.
Mm-hmm. They will, of course, be added to the game when they are ready.
Oh, that was all.
Alrighty. Good Thanks question. For your question.
I love when he talked, his profile picture was animated. It was just shooting out from there. That's awesome.
Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah.
That's good.
Voices have been such a draw for a lot of people, both in quality and how we've mimicked, like, the flow, the realistic flow of those things. I couldn't see why we wouldn't do that for any of the factions that we put forward.
Yeah.
Unless the information is just lost to time.
Well, we would also probably mimic that. We would probably guess if we couldn't find info.
Right, right. Yeah, we'd have to do something instead, but
the
we'd
problem,
be upfront with that.
Yeah, the problem with voices and the reason that the East German ones are not in yet is there's so many steps you have to go through to get from, hey, we should put voices, to actually having them in the game. Like, there's the research phase, which is astronomical amounts of work, and people will give wrong answers all the time, too. Like, it's such a problem. You get conflicting answers from different people, even people who are actual veterans. Like, oh yeah, I used to crew a tank in the NVA. Okay, what did you guys say when this happened? Well, we said this. Okay, but all your manuals say this instead. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's just this constant thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to try to figure out what's correct. And then even people who were in the same role at the same time will give different answers because, like, units had different standards. And then when we finally have a standard established, then we have to finalize our translations and our lines and get it really set. Then we have to go to everybody that sent auditions and look at their auditions to see which ones we want. Then we have to coordinate that. Then we have to get the recordings done. Then we have to pay them. Mm-hmm. It's like there's all these steps going on. We're just now wrapping up our final research stuff for East German because it's taken so long and the amount of lines that we need has actually expanded over time. So, like, a sheet that we had done before that had all the lines translated, it's not complete anymore because we added more stuff. like spotting calls and things like that, calling for fire. So yeah, it's just this massive undertaking and we're busy all the time. And so I have to sit here like in between juggling all the other tasks and be like, oh yeah, how are we doing on voices? We still have to finish that, you know, the script sheet. So yeah, yeah, it's just taking forever. It's the way it is. That's what we get for not just having them say, you know, you've got a hole in your left wing or whatever, and leaving it at that. Like, that's
one generic English speaker for every crewman.
Yeah. The load has been wounded. Yeah, it's the fact that we want realistic ones means that we have dug our own, well, not grave, it's not going to kill anything, but we've made our bed, now we have to lie in it, and it'll be cool when it's done. That's
very much so.
It'll take a while to get there, though.
But what's really groovy is that we've already done this successfully for one faction, and we are getting the process down, so it kind of gives us a bit more control of our flow for the whole thing.
Like,
okay, I know we're going to need this, so taking, you know, what we did last time into account, let's make sure we contact these people first, etc.
Yeah, and also people who have the MBT tier, you might have seen this voice controller work happening lately. That was to support Bradley and also to support future German voices and all the other stuff. We changed our system. The first one for Abrams and M60, a couple of things in there were kind of hard-coded, like to work for US command flow, and they needed to be altered so that we can change the command flow more cleanly. That's been done now. Every future command flow that we implement, we can actually draw like a flow chart in the game, in the editor, and hook them up to the voices. So it's actually pretty sick now. It's gonna be able to do everything we need it to going forward. Yep. Also, I saw somebody in chat say attack the D point, and all I have to say to that is never.
So, I regularly yell that in chat, every so often. That's his response.
Yep. Anyway, we are out of time, I think.
Oh, before we do that, though, you're all patrons. You're all cool. Thank you for the support. Love it. But if you guys were living under a rock or didn't realize this, we're going to eat early access on Steam come September 6th, next month. That is crazy. Yep. The price of that is going to be, we did an announcement on this, you probably all saw it, but just to reiterate, the price on that is going to be $29.99 at launch. There's going to be a 10% discount for the first launch week, or for the first week that it's out. But if you're a patron, and over the life of your subscription you've given us $25 USD, you will be getting a key to your email, your Patreon email, for the game. That is our thank you to you for helping us, for supporting us, and getting this up off the ground. And we want to do that for you. So keep an eye on your email. This is for people who have started and then stopped and maybe started again as well. So just keep an eye on your billing history and make sure that you have that amount if you're interested. Anything else to add to that?
That even includes people who, let's say you gave us $30 in 2020 and then you stopped, you still qualify. Anyone who's given, like, I don't know how you'd be here listening right now if you're not subbed anymore, but just in case, anybody who's given at least $25 in total at any time on Patreon, as long as you were using the same account the whole time, like, so it shows up in the stats, you will get a Steam key to the email address that you have registered on your account.
For anyone who listens to this as like a back channel podcast for whatever reason, here's your information. Uh-huh. And that is good until September 5th. So if you have everything down by September 5th or 4th, is it 4th?
I said 4th because on the 5th I'm pulling the list and sending
out
stuff.
Oh, there we go. So. Yeah. September 4th, which is my dad's birthday, so thank you.
Nice. Leaked.
Yeah, so that is good until that day. Please make sure to have everything in by that time, and then, we'll email you that key.
Mm-hmm. Also, I didn't say this on stream, but It would be very cool if you guys, once you have your key... What?
Okay, say it.
Okay. Once the game is out and you have your free key and you're playing the game, a big metrics thing on Steam is reviews, especially early reviews. We're in a precarious situation here. You guys understand how the game's been progressing over time. You've seen it. It's not optimized yet, all this stuff. A bunch of people are going to see it for the first time when it comes out on Steam, and they're going to be like, what the hell is this? It runs like crap on my computer. This is terrible.
I can't even attack the viewpoint.
Yeah, there's no multiplayer yet. What's the point of this game? I'm going to go back to War Thunder. We're going to get that. It's going to happen. The only way we have to fight that, because we can't, you know, do magic, we can't finish the game instantly and have it out there. We have what we have. So we need people who support the game to leave positive reviews to offset that. Essentially, we're nicely asking you to shill for the game in exchange for the free keys.
Those are not the words that I would have used, but yes, it would help us greatly.
Here's the thing, yeah. Don't lie.
Honestly,
give
don't
your honest
lie.
Opinion.
Give your honest, yeah, yeah.
It is very important that if you support the game, you make it known, because those metrics, positive versus negative reviews, overall impression, number of people playing, that's what will let it sink or swim after release. There is a very real risk that we're taking by going to early access, because people a lot of times expect something perfect even if it's in early access, and there's only so much we can do about that, and you can help a lot with that.
Yeah. Game development is hard. Game sales and marketing is even harder, especially in like pretty thick markets. We're a little insulated on that because there are only so many like very detailed tank related combat games, honestly, aside from the major ones. But you know, that still doesn't go against market dynamics on Steam.
Yeah.
If you don't make a nice splash, you don't kind of linger on, and then that'll help us greatly. Just keep funding and developing the game. So we would appreciate it. Do not go review bomb or spam or
anything. Yeah, don't make fake accounts. Don't do like, I'm making a positive review because the dev said so. Like, just give your honest opinion. If you support the game because you're here. So let people know. Let people know that you've seen it grow, that you're supporting it, that you're excited. And we'll let it speak for itself. Also, I saw somebody say in the voice chat, I've been supporting the game and I don't see my name in the credits list. That is because it says you need to send us a name that you want in the credits. If you do that, we'll put you in the list.
Mm-hmm. That also updates once we do updates to the game. That's not like that's not fed from a database or anything. So if you've given us your name, Groovy, that will get in there when we do our next update.
Right. Yep.
That's it.
Front door. How are you asking if you DM the name? We've said this like 20 times since you've been in here. Anyway, yes, this has been a good session.
Do we DM you the name? I'm gonna start ignoring that unless you have that green clover mark next to your name and you're clearly new.
You can DM us on here or Patreon, whatever official way to get a message to us that will work.
All right, I think we're good.
Yep. All right. Thanks for coming, everyone. And we will see you soon with a build update.
Bye, all.